Federal chief learning officers are gaining a higher profile across the government. A majority of the respondents to an exclusive Federal News Radio survey of federal chief human capital officers and CLOs say agencies highly value these executives. Sydney Heimbrock is the chief learning officer at the Office of Personnel Management. She tells Federal News Radio executive editor Jason Miller, even though the job's been around for at least a decade, the CLO is more important than ever.
It's becoming a much more strategic leadership partner for the agency's leadership overall, because people are realizing, particularly, you know, when we have hiring freezes and attrition that forces us, you know, literally to do more with less or to figure out how to do less with less, the talent that we have on board becomes so incredibly critical. And so we have to make sure that we're taking care of our people. And the way to do that is make sure they have access to the education and training they need, and again, to make sure that there's a good, strong career development program that engages employees, you know, as full members of a corporate team and makes them feel like there's really career opportunities for them within the federal government.
One thing about your role as CLO is you seem to be, you know, just from my perspective of when I've heard CLOs talk, when I've focused on covered the training and education piece in the government, is the challenges you face seem to be greater in the training education world than maybe in other CXO communities, whether it's finance or technology or acquisition. Can you give me a sense of those challenges that you're facing?
We're all feeling the really pretty severe pinch of lack of resources and very rapid changes in mission and, you know, heightened expectations for the kinds of services that we're going to be able to deliver. So, I mean, we're all kind of in the same boat. We just address those dynamics within our particular arena. And so what might make the CLO community stand out a bit is that we're seeing within our industry some really radical changes going on very, very quickly because of the digital revolution. And so being able to keep pace with those and even get out ahead of them so that we don't find ourselves, you know, devoting resources to learning technologies that are obsolete before we can even get them up and running, for example, or we don't miss opportunities to collaborate with each other across agencies where we could save scarce dollars by, you know, sharing training resources. And then, of course, there's the growing resource online of massive open online courses and other kinds of free resources that we really need to very quickly learn how to leverage and bring and make accessible to our employees, who more and more, you know, particularly with the millennials entering the workforce, the expectation is they are going to have access to that kind of developmental resource on a 24/7 basis. And so we really need to be ahead of that so that we don't have a group of people coming in to work for us who immediately feel alienated because they're not able to access the same kind of resources that they were before they came to work with the federal government.
It's interesting you say that, because one of the questions we asked in our survey was, when I use outside resources to meet my training needs, I turn to, and we gave them three choices: other federal agencies, federal contractors, or universities or college. And interestingly, 84%, now this was, you know, list them all, so it's not just one, 84% said federal contractors or for-profit organizations, with federal agencies being a second and universities or colleges being third. It seems like your opportunity is really around those university or colleges that are putting up these courses free online. You hear Harvard, you hear Stanford, you hear a lot of the big-name colleges making their courses in some ways available online. I mean, is that where you see kind of from your perspective, the CLO having to go, whether it's Harvard and Stanford or whomever?
Yeah, exactly. And it sounds really simple to say, oh, hey, you know, I could save a whole boatload of money by just giving all my employees access to these free online courses from the big Ivy League colleges. But really, that kind of sort of random scattershot approach is detrimental to employees because, you know, we all feel the experience of digital overload, and we don't want to impose that, you know, on our employees either. And I think if we were just to suddenly open up access to training in lieu of other educational and development opportunities, then employees might feel like they don't have a good basis on which to choose, which courses to take, and you know where to focus their time, which is a precious resource for any individual. So we have to be strategic about how we use those free resources from the outside, as well as how we use internal resources within the government and our contractor partners. And I think that's really where you see the CLOs having to step up and be strategic leaders, really good strategic thinkers, and understand the ultimate outcome that we're trying to achieve for our organizations and really pull together all the different resources that we have to accomplish those. So the other comment I wanted to make on that really interesting finding from your survey, first of all, I expect that to start changing, you know, as we go, but also the CLOs in particular have been very fully engaged in the category management effort, which is being led under the President's Management Agenda by OMB. And under category management, what we're trying to do is, for the human capital category of spending, pull together the chiefs who are kind of responsible for guiding that spending and really collaborate across the CLO community to look at how are people using vendors. You know, what kinds of products and services are they buying in federal learning, and how might we make sure that those purchases are truly strategic, that we're collaborating across the federal enterprise in, you know, achieving economies of scale through strategic sourcing, and those kinds of new approaches that can not only increase efficiency, but really, again, increase the impact of those investments by making sure that they're really aligned both to employee development needs and to organizational mission.
It's interesting you bring up category management. It's probably one of those questions I'll ask next year's survey, because I think it's still too early for this one. But although we did ask about the new contract that OPM and GSA are working on, I know it used to be called TMA. I think it's HCATS now. I have that right?
Yep.
But I think that's still even too early to ask. A lot of people said, you know, when we asked if you're going to plan to use that contract, a lot of people ended up saying in our survey, not sure yet, or maybe, because they're just not sure. I want to go back to the online classes piece, because, you know, one of the questions we also asked is, if your training budget declined, how have you dealt with that reduction? And again, we gave four different answers: fewer training courses, more online classes, targeted training, and the decline in my budget didn't change my approach. And interestingly, I thought more people would say fewer training classes, but 38% said online, and 28% said fewer, and 19% said targeted. So it's interesting that you had this mix. From OPM's perspective, you know, as you look at, as your role as a CLO, how have you dealt with the training budget challenges?
We've basically taken a two-pronged approach. One is leadership, and the other is analysis. So under the leadership, we have recognized that we need to make sure, again, that our training investments are truly strategic. And so the CLO partnered with our Chief Human Capital Officer and Chief Operating Officer to design a corporate learning strategy that aligns to the director's strategic goals and looks at skills gap and also some corporate culture initiatives that we have, and really focused our corporate training investments on those objectives. And then in the analytics side, we're taking a look really for the first time across the agency at what spending is happening sort of naturally down at the individual component and even individual employee level. And if you look at those spending patterns across the agency, you start to see some similarities in what people are buying. But instead of buying as a corporate purchaser, because we're not coordinating very well across the agency, we're buying as individual people, which of course increases the cost and the transaction cost. So that's the kind of work that, again, it's sort of a mini version of the category management idea, where we pull together all those spending behaviors and turn it into a corporate spend, which then allows us to negotiate better prices, achieve economies of scale. So, you know, we're hoping that that will really free up some training resources that we can then invest more strategically on the agency priority goals.
When you did this analysis, when you looked across the investments, did you find anything interesting? Anything stood out to you, or are you still too early in the process?
It's pretty early in the process still. I mean, there's some kind of no-brainer things like, you know, a lot of people sign up for project management classes provided by vendors when it turns out that we can provide a lot of that same content through our learning management system and online learning options, which is not to say, of course, that we're talking about the end of classroom-based training, and I want to be really clear on that because, you know, adults learn through doing primarily. We know that as learning professionals, and so we want to make sure that we don't respond to budgetary constraints by driving everyone to only being able to access online learning, because we know that that's online learning can help with certain types of skills transfer, but when you're talking about behavioral change or really long-lasting competency development, you do need that human interaction in the classroom as well as back on the job with some continued support and coaching in order to really have a sustainable impact. So, you know, we're working really hard to make sure that, yes, for example, project management, we want folks to take some of the e-learning courses that are available, but we're also going to then take the savings from that and make sure that they have access to classroom-based learning so that we can really build excellence in project management at OPM.
Sydney Heimbrock is Chief Learning Officer at the Office of Personnel Management. She tells Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller why she wasn't surprised about those findings in our survey.
Those responses are in part due to who you're asking. So you're asking chief learning officers who are really responsible for corporate learning, meaning department level investments in development. So really the job of the CLO is twofold. It's to make sure that investments are aligned to mission, and it's to make sure that there's good succession management and career development opportunities, and that employees are feeling engaged overall. And then down at the subcomponent level, it's really going to be the training officers and the program executives and leaders who are making those more individualized decisions about individual employee development. The CLO is trying to guide those and also enable those by freeing up resources through corporate investments that are, again, more globally aligned. So I think that's why you're seeing those kinds of answers. But also it speaks to where I think, you know, federal organizations really do need to go, which is, number one, making sure that our people have the right skills to accomplish our goals. And yes, we can hire those skills in, but as everybody knows, you're hiring in people with some basic competencies who then need to be developed continuously, both to, you know, reach full performance and then to keep up with very rapid changes in our industries. So those investments on an ongoing basis are really critical, and they should be aligned to where our mission-critical skills gaps are. And then the second piece, which is leadership, again, that doesn't surprise me at all because, you know, we know that the best and most engaged employees are the ones who are given opportunities to be leaders, whether it's leading in place by, you know, coming up with really great new ideas and being comfortable and willing and able to voice those ideas and then do something about them, or team leaders who are learning how to build a strong team cohesiveness that will produce really great results and a good organizational culture, or basic supervisory leadership, which is, of course, a completely different type of role that meant, you know, when people step into a supervisory role, they really need specific leadership skills. And then finally, executive leadership, which is organizationally focused and externally focused, and again, needs a whole set of very unique skills in the federal environment. So building leadership capability is really critical for everybody's performance and for building a strong organizational culture.
One of the things about the priorities that also jumped out to me was the idea of finding and developing new training education opportunities. And I think you kind of addressed that in the sense of, can we be more efficient in the everyday training? Maybe that's not the best word for everyday training. And then move into the specific skill gaps. From a skill gap standpoint, how is OPM or how are you guys helping agencies or just internally figuring out what your skill gap needs are?
One of my other roles actually is to lead the government-wide skills gap effort. And so we have actually developed a workforce planning method that the chief human capital officers are using to prioritize their mission-critical occupations. And based on that prioritization, then for each occupation, you have a set of competencies, and you can assess your employees against those competencies and figure out, you know, where are the current and projected gaps. And I think it's the foresight and projection that we really need to focus on, so that we're not always feeling like we're trying to catch up with the gaps that are left with attrition, but that we're really getting out ahead of it and looking at not only where do we see potential employee turnover that we're going to have to address with some skills training, but also where are the changes coming in our industry that we can start preparing for with some learning investments today. And so those are the kinds of strategic ways of thinking that we're working with the Chico community and the CLO community to implement through the skills gap effort.
I want to jump to another part of the survey. When we ask the CLOs and CHCOs, what are the most important factors in training federal employees? Interestingly enough, a larger training budget came up as probably the biggest factor, right? You know, right near the right kinds of training to meet the skill gaps in my agency. I think that's it's a common theme, is the skill gap. Is the training budget issue, is that something that you know, from your perspective at OPM, how do you deal with the fact is that when things get cut, training is always the first thing? We hear that time and again. How do you find that right balance of not cut it so much that you're just left with nothing? Or how do you make your case not to cut it at all because of what you just said about the workforce planning pieces and the lack of ability to hire and really not to be left with skill gaps everywhere?
Well, fundamentally, it's a question of leadership. And good, strong organizational leadership is always going to recognize that the most valuable, critical asset we have is our people, that nothing gets done without people. And so there's many studies across the private sector by the Corporate Executive Board, for example, time and time again, when the economy tanks and firms are closing or struggling, that is the time when the best, most sustained, high-performing firms increase their investment in employee development, because they recognize that that's the time that they need to really make sure that when the economy starts coming up and running again, their folks are ready to really jump in and seize those new opportunities. So that's really simply a leadership decision in terms of, you know, where we're going to invest scarce resources. And when you have strong leaders, like, frankly, Director Archuleta, who put employee development as a strategic goal in her strategic plan, that's how important she understands development to be. And so when you give it that level of visibility and prioritization, then good things happen. And employees become more engaged. They are seeing very clear signals that they matter to organizational leadership, and so they're going to be able to start putting forth that discretionary effort, investing in themselves and investing in their organizations. So the industry benchmark, of course, is about 2% of payroll. So that's something that, you know, in my government-wide learning role, I try to encourage agencies to look at meeting that benchmark.
It's interesting you bring up leadership, only in the sense that when you look at, for instance, the Employee Viewpoint Survey, which OPM does, and several other surveys of the federal workforce, the employee engagement piece is really dependent on the leadership piece. And I think it's a good tag back, as you said. Sydney, I very much enjoyed this conversation. We're almost out of time, but before I let you go, I did want to just kind of touch upon one thing. Where is the CLO community? Where is the learning community? I'll even broaden it out. Going from your perspective, from the council's perspective, from OPM's perspective, over the next 6 or 9 months?
Well, I think you should just look for great things, because the CLO Council has really become a very strong interagency body that is working together very quickly, very collaboratively, to come up with good, strong, strategic investments that we can make across the federal enterprise. So, for example, I think you're going to start seeing us sharing mandatory training so that we save money across the federal government by not stopping the duplication of investment in the same kind of training across different agencies. You're going to see us continuing to build interagency solutions like HR University. And of course, the category management is really putting the CLO Council out in front, setting the direction for the future of learning in the federal government.
And do you get a sense that the state of learning, the state of education and government is stronger than people kind of give it credit for?
I think so, and in part because, you know, frankly, employees are demanding it. We've got 2 million people who need development and need investment, regardless of where they are in their career, and we need to meet that demand. We need to show both our current and our future employees that we are going to take care of them while they're serving with us. We're going to make sure that they have the skills they need to perform, and we're going to make sure that they have career opportunities while they're with us. So, yes, you're going to see a lot of investment in learning and strategic prioritization of those investments.
That's Sydney Heimbrock, Chief Learning Officer at the Office of Personnel Management, talking to Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller. It is easy to share that interview and the results of our exclusive survey at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. You just click share with friends.